This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and the car guru himself, Mike Herzing.
Hey folks, it's Saturday. That means it's time for another edition of Let's Talk Wheels. I hope we're your favorite auto show. At least I hope so, really. I'm your guy, Mike Herzing. Matt Perrault is off today, but sitting in for him is the world-famous Bobby Harris, who is also our producer. Bobby, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, Mike. How about yourself?
We're having a great day. All right, folks, we've got a great show today. First, we're going to hear from Paul Eisenstein. He was here on a few weeks ago. He's editor of one of the favorite online automotive news sources called the Detroit Bureau, and he knows everything. This guy is great. But he's going to talk about some of the new things there with the Detroit Auto Show last week, and there's a lot of cool stuff. And we're going to talk about some auto industry news. We're going to do a car review, actually a couple of them. Then we're going to wrap up, as always, by answering some of your auto questions that you emailed to Mike at Let's Talk Wheels. Or you can always go to letstalkwheels.com. There's a big button on there that says Contact Mike. So for all those old farts like me, you got to have the big button there. But this segment is brought to you by our friends at Ram Trucks, built for a world that demands more. Introducing the new 2019 Ram 1500. And you know, they just showed the new Ram Heavy Duty, the 2500 and 3500. Oh my gosh. One of them will tow over 35,000 pounds of payload. Of course, you have to have a commercial license to do that. But it's just the fact that you can do it, you know, there'll be a lot of those commercial trucks that being everywhere now. It's really kind of cool. So, Bobby, the weather's been a little weird this week. It's freezing cold. And then earlier this week, it was 72, 73 degrees. I mean, everybody's getting sick because of this. How about you?
Well, I'm okay. I have a strong immune system. But in Houston, Texas, where we are located, yeah, the weather has been on and off. I mean, it was 40-something earlier this week, and now it's in the 50s, and later it will get in. It'll be actually chillier.
Yeah.
Later down the week.
Yeah, so. Next Sunday, I think it's going to be 25 or 30.
Uh-huh.
You know, where last week it was 75, you know, so you never know. So, and of course, that's Matt. He's been covering a bunch of stuff for sports and this week, so that's where he's at. But we've had a great week, got a great show, got some really cool stuff coming up, because I was always interested in the Detroit Auto Show, because that's the first auto show of the year, and that they've got a lot of big launches and stuff. So, folks, we got a great show. Just hang on just a minute, and we're going to have a good time with it. And, Bobby, thanks for coming in.
No problem.
I mean, it's been great. So, all right, folks, Mike Herzing and Bobby Harris are listening to Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network, and we'll be right back right after this.
This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network on SB Nation Radio. Here's Matt Perrault and the car guru himself, Mike Herzing.
Hi, folks. Welcome back to Let's Talk Wheels. I'm your host, Mike Herzing. Matt Perrault's off today, but sitting in for him is the world-famous Bobby Harris. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing pretty good.
We're actually having a great day. This segment is brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. The beginning of the year is the perfect time to bring out your very best. So, go farther and dream bigger in a Jeep brand vehicle. That's for sure. Hurry in for great deals now at the Jeep Start Something New event. You know, it's funny, as I've got a Jeep, but it's 1946. So, it's 70-something years old. So.
And it still runs? It
runs great. Runs great. I have a 46 and a 53, but they're kind of like military Jeeps. But, you know, they won a war, so you got to appreciate it. Of course, I don't know how people drove. I mean, that thing rides so rough. Now, if you put five or six people in it, it's not so bad.
Okay.
But two people in it, it'll kill you.
Oh.
And watching all the movies and stuff, when I was a kid, we used to watch this show called Rat Patrol.
Hmm.
And they had Jeeps and a machine gun on there, a 50 caliber machine gun. They would jump the dunes and all that. No, you don't do that. If you try to do that, it will kill you. You wouldn't have any kidneys or any internal organs left, because it'll beat you up.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's a cool vehicle, and it still runs after all these years. But here's some good news. Volkswagen. You know, you got to love these guys. They're the biggest automaker around, but they're going to go toward electric vehicles. They've been talking about that ever since that big diesel engine scandal, but they've all decided electric, and they've got some really cool, you know, they got a new electric Beetle that they're working on, and they're concept vehicles, but, you know, they're going to make them. And one of them is the minivan. You know, their Volkswagen Bug or the bus. It's really good looking, too. But they want to build a lot of electric cars, and they're going to add 1,000 jobs in Chattanooga, Tennessee, as part of the first electric vehicle facility in North America for them, okay? Company is going to spend $800 million on a manufacturing facility there in Tennessee. And they're going to start production of vehicles in 2022. So that's really not very far away. What's wild is not just – they're going to hire 1,000 people. Okay, that's cool. But the way these plants work is they don't keep parts. Okay, they keep a 20-minute or 30-minute supply of parts at the warehouse, at the factory. So all the suppliers that build the seats and the dashes and the batteries and the electric motors and all that are all within a few miles of there, so they can truck stuff as they need it. And that's how it's unloaded off the 18-wheelers back up, and they unload all of the seats and all of the dashboards and all of the whatever, the whole car, onto the assembly line in order. Whether it's a green one, a blue one, a yellow one, or whatever, they're all in the right order, and they come together on the assembly line and mesh together, and the car vehicles are built. And so if one of the trucks, to say the truck that the 18-wheeler that has the, you know, seat belts can't make it, guess what? Production stops of the cars. And so they have to be close. So all these suppliers are going to be around there, so there'll be other probably several thousand more jobs being put up there. So that's really a big deal. It's going to stop making gas-powered cars by 2026. So by in 6 more years or 7 more years, there are going to be no gasoline-powered Volkswagens.
That's pretty neat.
That's pretty neat. That's pretty wild, you know. Better have some long extension cords, you know. They're going to have the capacity to up to 14 million electric vehicles over the next several years. They can build 14 million vehicles. Holy crap. And the prices of these entry-level electric vehicles will start about $22,700. You know, they'll probably end up having, by that time, probably have a 500 or 600-mile range, mm-hmm. which is the same as gasoline. You just have to find a way to charge them. You know, that's kind of crazy. But Audi's just started the e-tron, and Mercedes-Benz has got the EQC model. But, you know, those are going to be stupid expensive. At least the Volkswagen, people can afford it. You know, that's a pretty good deal. Talking about the Detroit Auto Show, which with Paul Eisenstein is going to be on shortly. Folks, you're listening to Let's Talk Wheels and Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. I'm Mike Herzing along with Bobby Harris. But they got some new Fords, which is pretty cool. They got an Explorer ST Hybrid. You know, the 2020 Explorer is rear-wheel drive, and it's just a whole different vehicle. So if you have an Explorer now, well, guess what? The new ones are going to be totally different. And they've got an Explorer S. They have one of the ST is going to be their performance model. It's got a twin turbocharged 3-liter V6. Wow. 400 horsepower. Wow. 420 pound-feet of torque. It only goes 143. Those are the ones, 143 miles an hour. Those are the ones they're going to sell the police departments, unfortunately. Yeah. You know, but they need to sell them something slow. But also going to have a hybrid, which is really kind of a neat deal. It's going to give – but this is a hybrid not like everybody else's. This is going to have a lot of performance and capability, and it's going to be fuel efficient. 3.3-liter hybrid engine, 312 horsepower, 330 pound-feet of torque. Base price is going to be $33,000. That's really not bad. They're going to sell the heck out of these with the police package.
Oh, yeah.
Because policemen – you know, a hybrid vehicle that's partly electric and part gas is perfect for a police officer because they idle all the time. That way the electric battery is covering most of that. So it will save a lot of fuel, save a lot of emissions, and it's going to run great. Now, the other thing that's kind of cool is they've got a new Mustang GT500 Shelby, and it's the most powerful street-legal Ford they've ever made. Supercharged 5.2-liter V8, more than 700 horsepower. So that's going to actually put it right there with the Mopars and all of the Chryslers, the Hellcats and things like that. So mid 3 second 0 to 60 miles an hour and sub 11 second quarter mile scores times. Wow, man, it's pretty cool. And it's a good looking Mustang. Oh my gosh, it's wow. I would take it in a minute. It's going to be a really good looking car. And very aerodynamic and very space-age looking and very absolutely cool. And so that's going to be exciting. You know, a lot of the people at the Detroit Auto Show, Hyundai, had it's got the utility vehicle of the year. They won that award. But it's really – Hyundai and actually Genesis got two big awards at the Detroit. And we have Paul Eisenstein talking about that. You know – those awards that they give the North American International Auto Show, and it's North American Car, Truck, and Utility Vehicle of the Year Awards, it's kind of like the Oscars. It's kind of like the Emmys or something, you know, the Grammys, if you're music. But this is the big deal. And there's, you know, 8,000 or 10,000 reporters looking at this and a national TV audience and actually worldwide. And so one of the coolest vehicles, but you don't see them there often because they don't sell enough of them, especially here in Texas, is the Genesis. What a great vehicle. And it's, if you think, you go and you can, it's like having a Mercedes or a BMW, the most expensive one, but then you can take $20,000 off the price. And because you're not buying the name.
Yeah.
And but boy, is it a gorgeous vehicle. And boy, is it nice. And, you know, the dealers will pick the car up and service it for you, bring it back. They'll give you one of their cars to drive while they're doing it. It's a really big deal. And, you know, what's funny is Genesis only started in 2015 when they spun off from Hyundai. But, you know, they figured that people wouldn't buy a $60,000 Hyundai.
Yeah.
But I remember years ago in the 80s when Toyota decided nobody would buy a $50,000 Toyota, but they would buy a $50,000 Lexus.
Because of the name.
Because of the name. And then and the dealers took care of you too. And Lexus was the first company that would really just do everything for their customers. Mm-hmm. I mean, you go to a Lexus dealer and they treat you nice. They give you a cup of coffee. You have a nice – it's really nice stores. They – when you finish their car, they wash it, they clean it up for you, they vacuum it, you know, they do everything. And they just do everything. They kiss your rear end. It's just really great.
Yeah.
And if you need it at service, they come and pick it up. They would, you know, at your office or at home, they would leave you another vehicle to drive. But this was in the 80s they were doing this. And Mercedes, when you walked in a dealer, and some of the BMW dealers, they were real snotty and they weren't real friendly. And, you know, it's like, hey, you bought this car, it's your problem, and that kind of stuff. But Lexus was so nice to their people. So then Infiniti came along, which is part of Nissan, and they said, we're going to do it like Lexus. They do a great job too. Then all of a sudden, the Mercedes guys started losing business, and they started going, okay, we're going to treat our customers differently too. Totally different attitude. And now if you got a luxury car, even Acura, I mean, and Volvo, and all, they take care of you.
Oh, yeah.
And it's nice. You know, it's not just the car. It's the whole dealer experience.
Uh-huh.
They're low key. They're no pressure. The dealerships are gorgeous inside, you know, and they have all the espresso machines and this kind of stuff. It's not like going into another kind of dealer. So, you know, check out those things. If you haven't seen the Genesis, you need to check them out because they're really nice. It's a pretty cool thing. So, folks, we got Paul Eisenstein coming from the Detroit Bureau who'll be right on right after these break here. But we got a lot of cool stuff. Bobby, thanks for coming in.
No problem.
All right. So, folks, you're listening to Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing and Bobby Harris right here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. You can always find us on Facebook. Don't forget, Let's Talk Wheels. And we'll be right back right after this with more Let's Talk Wheels.
This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network on SB Nation Radio. Here's Matt Perrault and the car guru himself, Mike Herzing.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Let's Talk Wheels. I'm your host, Mike Herzing. Matt Perrault is off today, but we've got Bobby Harris, our producer, is helping out. So thanks, Bobby.
No problem.
All right, at Nissan, this segment was brought to you by the folks at Nissan. And at Nissan, just made your choice for a new car, an easier one than ever, with our most exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. Folks, the choice is yours. Now, get great offers across the full line. Shop your local Nissan store today and choose Nissan.com. All right. This is, again, we had him a few weeks ago, Paul Eisenstein from the Detroit Bureau. This is where I go for news every morning. Detroit Bureau, great, great website. If you haven't found it, you need to find it because it's awesome. We have Paul on the line. He's just been at the Detroit Auto Show. Matter of fact, he lives out there. So, Paul, welcome to Let's Talk Wheels.
It's good to be with you.
Good. So we got Detroit weather here in Houston. It's, you know, 40 degrees and rainy, but it's getting better. So
I'd settle for that. We're going to be down in the zeros by this weekend.
Oh, I was whining about this. You know, it's going to be I was whining about the fact it was going to be 25, but that's okay. Tell us what went on at the show.
Well, it was an interesting show, and you can get the full coverage. We have it on thedetroitbureau.com, but it's not as long as stories we've done in the past. This is the last year that they're going to be doing it in the winter.
Thank you.
And it's time for a big change. What's happened is we pretty much finished up the entire show by before 2 o'clock, at least from the new car preview side.
Mm-hmm.
There were only less than 20 new models launched here. Now, that's still not bad, and there were some important products here, but when you consider that once upon a time, we had as many as 70 new products debut at one of the Detroit auto shows, this is a little bit of a disappointment.
Well, the L.A. show has come on really strong, then Chicago, which might
be... Chicago is a very, very quiet show these days, but the big show, I think we were all surprised a little bit by how strong Los Angeles was, and New York was pretty good last year. Part of the problem is, if you look around, auto shows in general have been getting weaker and weaker in recent years, because of a lot of reasons, but manufacturers have been rethinking what they do and where they spend their money, in part because it does cost so darn much to put a display on at one of these big shows, one of the majors, of which there are about a half dozen in the U.S.
Well, you know, something that's worked here in Houston, and we're one of the first cities that started it. We have our Houston Auto Show this next week, but is they do these ride and drives. And where you can get a chance to look at the car and everything, you walk out and just get in it and go around the block with a product specialist. They're not trying to sell you the car. They're just telling you about it. There are like 80 or 90 cars you can drive. It started off as like 10. You know, it's like crazy. And it's really, you may like a car. It fits you, sit in it and everything, but you're not driving it. And you don't want to go to a dealer because you want to make your best deal. And so... Let's just find a chance to drive one of these cars, and you may find out it doesn't fit you right, or maybe it fits you great. You know what I mean? And so,
yeah, exactly. And the reality is, manufacturers have come to realize that, especially with all the new stuff that's coming to market, like electric and soon autonomous vehicles, you really need to get butts in seats. People have to experience some of these new vehicles to fully understand what they're about. It's going to become even more the case as we see more and more electrified vehicles come to market.
Yes. All right. So we had the awards for the NACTOY, North American Car and Truck of the Year, and SUV and of the Year. You guys call it Utility Vehicle of the Year. So tell everybody who won.
Yeah, it was a few surprises there. Of course, one of the biggest surprises was the win for Car of the Year of the Genesis G70.
I love that car.
Well, I do too, and it's a surprisingly good alternative for a 3 Series buyer who doesn't really need quite all the bells and whistles and definitely doesn't want to spend all the money that they need for the Bavarian model. For them, this may be something that they should seriously consider.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Genesis certainly needed the boost because they're not selling a lot, in part because they're a new brand, which most people don't know about. Their awareness is extremely low, and so this is going to put them on the map, I think. This is one of the biggest surprises. By the way, I'm getting ahead of myself, but with the win by the Hyundai Kona, this was a very important year for the Koreans in general.
Right.
They've only won 2 trophies in the 25 years that the NACTOY Awards have been given out. And now they've gotten 2 more, so they doubled their medal count, as it were, in this Automotive Olympics. And it says just how much the Korean auto industry, the Korean auto companies, have changed in the last few years, delivering better and better and more competitive products. So, move on. I said the Hyundai Kona did, in fact, win in the utility vehicle category.
That's a nice little vehicle. It really is.
I was lucky. I had a chance to drive it on an amazing trip out in Hawaii last year.
I met you there.
And I've also had the chance to drive the electric version of it. I had it here a little over a month ago, and I was really surprised. You know, 240 roughly miles per charge.
That's
really
enough.
Part of this whole new wave of electric vehicles. And it went up against some tough competition, including another all-electric, which was the Jaguar I-Pace, which did reasonably well, but the Kona definitely slam-dunked it.
Yeah. And it's one-third the price.
That only, Well, the price definitely helped.
Yeah.
You know, it's a reasonable price. The competition in the utility category was fairly tight. The Genesis got something like four times as many votes as its next competitor.
Wow.
And then we move on to the truck category,
yes.
And this is really amazing. We had three very good vehicles. We had the new Chevrolet Silverado 1500, which, you know, just came out. We had the GMC Sierra 1500. It's a close cousin.
Right.
And then we had the Ram 1500, which won.
Right.
And it got almost seven times the number of votes as either of the GM offerings.
Well,
and even if you added those two together, it still had nearly four times as many votes. And that tells you how good this new Ram truck is.
Well, I just wait. Then they also debuted the new heavy-duty Ram, which has that award-winning interior in it.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, is very much lifted out of the Ram 1500. There
right.
are some tweaks here and there in it, but things like that portrait or tablet-style display screen, the touch screen, really has clicked with a lot of people. I mean, it's amazing how strong the folks at Ram, the Fiat Chrysler brand, have come on. Right now, you know, they're moving into second place when it comes to the pickup truck market. It's quite a surprise, and I'm going to be very interested to see how they perform the rest of the year now that they've won this and a couple of other awards.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a big deal, and it's a great truck. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a great
no
truck.
Question about that.
It's just having just truck owners are so brand loyal, and that's just, you know, it's just, you know, it's just the way they are. So it'll take a while, and they've had to work. You know, they're the number three guy, so they have to work twice as hard as anybody else. You know what I mean?
Well, they've moved into second place. So
have they?
Okay. That's pretty amazing. Yeah, they are slamming it. They are just slamming it out of the park right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Paul, we have another couple minutes left, 3 minutes left. So tell us what else was going on. I know we've got what do you think about the Volkswagen opening the new plant in Tennessee?
That's pretty interesting. There was a lot of big news out of Volkswagen here in Detroit during the week of the show.
That's right.
They had, first of all, at the show, a brand new Passat, which is an important vehicle for them. The reality is people talk like sedans are dead. Well, no, they're still accounting for something like 5 million vehicles sold last year. So you don't want to just disappear from the sedan market. Well, maybe Ford has, but particularly in the midsize, it's a segment that manufacturers need to compete in, and VW has a good entry with this new Passat. But the real big stories at the show, first of all, VW committing $800 million to expand the factory down in Tennessee to add two all-electric vehicles, which will go into production in about 3 years. And the other big story, of course, was the announcement, finally, of the long-rumored tie-up between VW and Ford.
Yep.
And we saw that they are going to start building a pickup based on the Ford Ranger, and they'll be sharing platforms and light trucks, including some of their vans. And we know that there's going to be more. So VW, which is extremely committed to getting into the electric vehicle market as they cut back on the diesels that dominated their lineup, you can expect that they're going to have another announcement probably within the next few months, probably sooner than later, where they're going to tie up with Ford and also start sharing electric vehicle content, possibly products, and also autonomous vehicle technology.
Oh, I can't wait for that new VW microbus to come out. By the way, folks, we're listening.
Oh, the buzz, yes.
We're talking to Paul Eisenstein from the Detroit Bureau. This is Mike Herzing on Let's Talk Wheels. But you're right. That's going to be that was a great-looking vehicle. Saw it at the L.A. show a couple years ago, and I was just amazed with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the ID Buzz is going to be a big one. When you look, what's amazing is that the VW group, which, you know, includes a dozen different brands, all the way up to Porsche, Lamborghini, and, of course, Audi and Bentley,
yep.
When you add them all up, VW is talking about having something like 50 all electric vehicles in their lineup before the middle of the decade. They have made a huge commitment to electrification. That doesn't include hybrids and plug-in models. So we're going to be seeing a lot out there, and VW is going to be the brand that's going to have to prove that you can have inexpensive electric vehicles for those who want to get in but don't have much of a budget, all the way up to those who want to see what you can do with electrification at the other extreme.
All right.
That, we'll find out soon with the Porsche Taycan.
All right. Paul Eisenstein, Let's Talk Wheels is glad to have you on from the Detroit Bureau, and thanks so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
All right, folks, this is Mike Herzing and Bobby Harris on Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. We'll be right back with more Let's Talk Wheels.
This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network on SB Nation Radio. Here's Matt Perrault and the car guru himself, Mike Herzing.
Okay, folks, welcome back to Let's Talk Wheels. I'm your host, Mike Herzing. Matt Perrault is off today, but luckily we have our good friend Bobby Harris and our producer joining us today. Bobby, thanks.
No problem.
All right, guys, now this is the car review segment, and we're going to do little car questions, but actually off today, sent in his review of the Hyundai Sonata Hybrid, and it's a plug-in hybrid, so it's kind of cool. This is what it's coming to, Bobby. This is it. This is where they're going to go.
This is the future.
This is the future, and actually they're kind of a nice little vehicle. So here's Matt Perrault with his Hyundai review.
All right, Mike, thanks very much. I was driving this week a 2018 Sonata Plug-in Hybrid Limited Blue. Now, this is part of the Blue Line here for Hyundai, and look, if you like hybrids, you're a certain type of person, right? You have to be looking for a hybrid. Some people can't stand these vehicles. Other people absolutely love them. They think that they're just phenomenal. But, you know, for this one, okay, the sticker price in this vehicle was just a tick under $40,000, which is pretty pricey for a sedan in particular because, look, cars aren't being made all that much. People aren't driving all the cars. So there's new range on this on the 2018. This is a vehicle that's going to come out with the 2019 version, obviously, but I was driving the 2018 version from last year. I had not driven it yet, so a chance to review it. And it is a very, very smooth ride. It's a very stylish ride. It feels nice. It rides nice. And it has an extended all-electric range of up to 28 miles. Some very nice advanced safety features, but that's a Hyundai, right? That's what we expect at a Hyundai. I'll get to those in a second, what those are. But, this is part of the plug-in line that they have launched, and they've got some new LED headlights on this and a driver in attention monitor if you're not paying attention. I love the wireless charging pads on these Hyundai that come standard now. This is just awesome stuff to have. It's one of those things where when you don't have it, you feel like, man, I really wish, where's that? It's a very spacious interior. I felt very comfortable in this vehicle. I love the things that are standard, the infotainment system, the fact that they use so heavily with, Apple CarPlay is a big part of this. Really love it. You know, it's funny because some of the cons, when you read some of the reviews on the vehicle, that this vehicle has low fuel efficiency compared to the others in the class. And I get that, you know, the Honda's got about nearly double the EV range. And so I kind of understand that there's a little bit of a difference there, you know, with just a 28 mile. But, you know, if you're using this thing on gas as a hybrid, this is awesome. I mean, it just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. And I barely use a quarter of a tank for an entire week of driving around for this thing. Overall, it does have an EPA estimated range of 39 miles per gallon. And I really did, I really did like that, although that is below some of the others in the class, the Chevy Volt and the Prius also, that comes pretty low for 39. But I didn't hate it in terms of the gas mileage. I thought it was pretty good. And, I thought it was more of a traditional looking sedan. This is less of a, it's just a less of a vehicle that looks like a hybrid, if you will. It looks like a typical Sonata when you look at the vehicle. Very nice. I found the vehicle very quick off the line. It's pretty typical for hybrids to have some quickness with some good torque off the line. I thought it did that. 6-speed automatic transmission. I liked a lot on that. And it's, 2.0 gasoline direct engine, 4-cylinder for the hybrid engine. And, 6-speed automatic transmission with Shiftronics was smooth and nice. case. I like that a lot. And you know, it comes with 120 volt cable charger, so you can go right into the wall, which is really nice if you want to go into the hybrid. And the 17 inch eco eco spoke alloy wheels look really sweet. LED headlights, really nice. The smart cruise control, which is really nice. Leather wrapped steering wheel, which is smooth and nice, and I really I like that a lot. Nice stereo system, which I liked a lot. And you know, let's get to some of these safety features, which are so fun and so nice from the advanced safety technology. It's got automatic emergency braking, lane keep assistance system, which is really nice, blind spot detection system with rear cross traffic alert standard, which is just so awesome. Your rear view camera and your parking sensors, your vehicle stability management with traction control, four-wheel disc brakes, front and front side impact, side curtain and driver knee airbags, or tire pressure monitor with individual tire pressure indications, all these things coming standard, which I really did like a lot. The safety features on Hyundais are just awesome. They really are. They're really, really nice. And, you know, if you are somebody who wants a safe vehicle, wants a sedan, and wants a thing that looks like a car, right, is a hybrid but looks like a car, this is something that you may want to check out and may want to take a look at. I love the cabin. I love the interior. I found everything, you know, all the infotainment systems really nice. The graphics are crisp, and overall, I thought it was a really nice ride, really smooth ride. And while it may have some of the hybrid features, engine features, some of the others in the class, I thought it was definitely something that I enjoy driving. So, you know, if you are looking for a hybrid but want a vehicle that looks nice, rides really smooth, gets great gas mileage compared to a gasoline-only engine, has electric capability. If you want just to drive with an electric engine, you know, you can go up to 28 miles with this vehicle. And I really do think you should check it out. If you're in the market for this type of vehicle, I definitely would recommend checking out the 2018 Hyundai Sonata plug-in hybrid for sure.
Well, it sounds like Matt had a good time with that Hyundai. Now, I, on the other hand, was driving a Chevrolet Equinox. Boy, you know, it was kind of a fun vehicle. Matt used to actually own one of these, so his wife killed it in an accident. But, you know, they've changed these around a little bit, but it's a nice vehicle. It's kind of a mid-size SUV, but it's got a lot of stuff. You can get several different trim levels of it, but this one I got was pretty loaded. It was like $39,000, and it had a lot of stuff on it. It really was loaded with everything you want. But it drove great, and it's, you know, I was getting 24, 25 miles per gallon. I drove it like I stole it, and it was nice, good looking. One of my favorite colors for these things is it's kind of a maroon, reddish color, and, you know, it's got three rows of seats, and I take that back, two rows of seats, but it's just comfortable. You can fold everything down, load all kinds of junk in the back. You can put your dogs there. You can, that kind of stuff. It's got the automatic tailgate that opens up when you warn it and things like that. It's got all of the automatic headlights and the lane divergence and all the dynamic cruise control. And if you start to, I remember starting back up and somebody zipped around and through Walmart parking lot. I was hauling butt. I didn't see him. And he came up behind me and the car stopped me. So that was kind of cool. It does all that kind of stuff. And when you get up close to somebody, it kind of, when you're pulling up close to somebody, it kind of beeps and has all the alarm stuff. And then GM's got that, one of my favorite things, and I need to give GM a big pat on the back for having the back seat reminder. So if you open the back doors, it knows that you open the back doors. Maybe you put your kid, your child, or your dog, or groceries or something. So when you go to leave the car, it says, check the back seat, and it'll beep at you and chime. And so that way you don't accidentally leave something, you know, like your child in the back seat.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big issue.
Yeah, it's in 40, yeah. I think 45 children were killed last year by heat stroke, and that's a big deal. But, you know, the engine was a 2-liter turbo, which you're thinking, 4-cylinder, 2-liter, but it ran great. It had plenty of power. Matter of fact, it ran better than the Mercedes I had the week before. That was $25,000 more. This was a great deal. It has plenty of power. It has 252 horsepower. It's great. I see on their list that they make a diesel. I show a diesel for it. Whether I couldn't find one. But, you know, this thing had plenty of power. It was great. It has all the neat, you know, keyless open. Keyless had remote start, which the Mercedes that had the week before did not have remote start. I have a Toyota this week. Doesn't have remote start. I love remote start. you know, it's a cold morning, it's whatever, or hot morning, or, you know, hot day, and you reach over and start your car before you get there, it helps it cool out, you know, warm up or cool down. But it has all the stability control, traction control, has a tire pressure monitor, has got all the airbags you could possibly want. And it's also got something called Teen Driver. So you can monitor your kids, what they do and how many times they hit the brakes and slid sideways and stuff. Of course, that'd be going off. When my kids were young, I just shudder to think what they were doing with the vehicles. But it has a lot of that lane change and the side blind zone alert and all that kind of stuff and rear cross traffic. That's something that every vehicle should have. And I wish every vehicle I own had it, but most of them don't. Actually, I don't think I have any of those vehicles I have that. But all, you know, the automatic tailgate and all that other stuff is kind of neat, but it's not. It had a really nice, infotainment system. It was really nice stereo. Had a heated steering wheel and all the different leathers, you know, leather seats and all that. It was just nice. But it's a nice vehicle. If you're looking like maybe some of the Honda, the Toyota Highlander or something like that, look at this. Look at the GM, because it's a great vehicle. And people are really going to – I mean, I think this is their number one selling vehicle besides the Silverado. Okay? So when you got to think about that, it's the right size. You can get these things, you know, in the upper 20,000 range. And it's got all the safety features, and it's got, you know, wireless charging for your phone. It's got all that kind of stuff. And it's got OnStar. OnStar is great. Even if you don't have a nav system, you can push the OnStar button, and they'll tell you, okay, they'll send everything to your vehicle, and all of a sudden, right in between the speedometer and the tachometer, it'll tell you all the different directions, even if you don't have the nav system. But it also has Apple CarPlay and Android Auto and all that kind of stuff. But it just – but it still has knobs. So I like that kind of, you know, I had a Cadillac, a month ago or so, that had no knobs for anything. And it was
everything was like all digital? Like,
yeah, it was all touchscreen. Touchscreen, you know, haptic, yeah. You know. And uh-huh. So if you're driving along and you're trying to push the screen and you always push the wrong button and it tries to talk to you and all that stuff, it's just nice to have a knob or two, especially if you're ever wearing gloves or something. Although you have to peel the gloves off and that kind of stuff. So if you're in a cold climate and you're wearing gloves, it's really nice to have just a couple knobs. Just,
oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
Just two, you know. I only, you know, but it was nice. I said it had the dual zone climate control, had everything you want. It was just a comfortable car, and we went somewhere with the two dogs. I have two Rottweilers and two rescue Rottweilers, and my wife and I, we just drove her up to East Texas, and it was great. It was comfortable. Wasn't, you know, a little noisy on rough roads, but that was the tires. But other than that, it's a great vehicle. If you're looking at something like, you know, a Nissan Murano or something like that, you look at the Chevy too. It's really great. And also GMC makes the Terrain, and it's a nice vehicle too. So check them out. All right, folks, now it's time for a couple of car questions that you have sent to Mike@letstalkwheels.com, or you've gone on to the letstalkwheels.com website and put contact Mike, because that's what we're doing. Now, Ken, who wanted to know if a certified pre-owned car is a really good deal, and what's the difference between that and a regular used car, and what about a car that's coming off a lease? What would be the difference? He's a big fan of the show, and he says, thanks. I think he's in Orlando or something like that. Honestly, certified pre-owned is a car that you get at a dealership that you can get a warranty with. And with that warranty, you get a lot of, you know, freebie stuff. And the dealer's gone, they've taken the car to the service department, they've lifted it up, they've checked everything, they've gone over it, it is certified. And, you know, if you buy something like that at a Chevy or Ford or Ram or Jeep or whatever dealer, if you have a problem with it, they'll take it back. And that's kind of a neat thing. But certified pre-owned is like the closest thing you can get from new, you know. And that in a regular used car, it's just a used car on the lot. A lot of dealers, you know, the difference between buying a used car at, you know, Bob's Used Car Sales – sorry about Bob. Okay, Fred's Used Car Sales, and who doesn't give it warranty. If you go buy a used car from a dealer, usually the ones that aren't any good or have problems and this kind of stuff, they've wholesaled it off. And that's where the other guys buy them. That's where Fred buys them for Fred's Used Cars. They'll buy them at the auction. These are cars that people traded in. They've driven them. They've checked it out. Their service department have checked it out. And it's a good car. It's not certified where it's going to give you a warranty or anything like that. That's really the best way to buy one if you're really looking at something like that. But all right, folks, we're running a little short. We'll finish the next questions right after this. We've got just a few more. We got a lot more stuff left on Let's Talk Wheels, one more segment. And this is Mike Herzing with Let's Talk Wheels on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. We'll be right back right after this.
This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network on SB Nation Radio. Here's Matt Perrault and the car guru himself, Mike Herzing.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the last segment of Let's Talk Wheels. I'm your host, Mike Herzing, and Matt Perrault is off today, but sitting in for him is our good friend, Bobby Harris.
Thank you so much.
And our producer, he's a great guy. So let's try to squeeze in one more car question. We're finishing up this thing with Ken about used cars, and it's always better. I like buying cars off a lease because they've all been taken care of, because that's what you do on a lease. You bring it into the dealer. They all have low mileage, and if you get one less than 30,000 miles, 35 or 36,000 miles, it's still under the factory warranty. And you can always buy a car. So you're basically losing the depreciation of the car. And so you're buying it at a better price. I bought one a few years ago. I bought it in 2015. It was a 2015 model. And I saved $16,000 off the sticker price. Now, it had like 32,000 miles, but still under warranty. I looked at it, found out everything. If I wanted to buy an extended warranty, I always could at the really cheap price. Donna's getting ready to buy wants to buy a used car that had the check engine lights on. It's a 2013 BMW 3 Series. It's got 139,000 miles. The guy will discount it $200 if she takes it with the light on. She might be able to get him dropping another $100. Would I take the gamble? Absolutely not. That could be a $1,000 fix on that. Now, if you check the codes and then one thing, something like that, but there's not a chance I would buy it for that much. I would have the guy fix it, and I'll give him the $300, whatever. But no, there's not a chance. You're crazy if you do that, because there's no telling. It could need four oxygen sensors. It could need something that's it may have a problem with the computer. We're talking thousands of dollars. So yeah, and if you're a mechanic and you know what you're doing, you got some ASC certifications, you might could do that. But no, you tell the guy to take off $1,000 or have it fixed. That's what I would do. All right, folks. If you have any questions or anything, questions you want to send to me, I'll be glad to take care of them. I'll be glad to answer all your questions. And if I don't know, and there's a lot of stuff I don't know, I'll be glad to find out the answer for you and get back to you. Just email it back to you. So you can go to letstalkwheels.com, and right in the middle of the page is a big button that says Contact Mike. And you can send me your concerns or your questions or even comments on the show. We'd love to hear from them. And because we do this for you guys. And I hope we actually teach you just a little bit, because we really enjoy doing it. And I enjoy you guys, all the emails that you send me. I really appreciate it. Don't forget, you can find our new Let's Talk Wheels website, letstalkwheels.com. You can find us on Facebook, also on Instagram as Let's Talk Wheels SBN, which stands for SB Nation. So on behalf of Matt Perrault, our producer Robert Harris, and myself, well, thank you for joining us today on Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. I'm Mike Herzing. See you next week. Happy motoring.